Good evening, Scorpio, and welcome to your 2015 birthday reading. This is Eric Francis with you at long last, here with your astrology. Thanks for your patience. One thing you should know is that I really do my best to not do this kind of work when I'm stressed or packing it between things, and so I set the intention of doing the birthday reading as early in the sign as possible, and then I just wait for an opening, and I have found one on a nice quiet Friday evening here in Kingston, New York. It is dark. It's 5:46 p.m. on Friday, the 13th. That's easy to remember, and still early enough in standard time and on this side of the solstice that it seems like it's interesting that it gets dark so early when it seems like just moments ago it was light until like 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night, depending on where you live. Like in Paris, for some reason, it is never seems to get dark in the summer. I began the work on this reading by getting your comments and received quite a few, between 100 and 200 of you wrote to me and told me about your experience of Saturn in Scorpio. That was the main thing that I wanted to check and also get some ideas from you, but I wanted to get a kind of a barometer on how you people, my readers, you person, you very especially you, experienced the last 2 years of Saturn in your sign. Saturn entered Scorpio in late 2012, right around 12/21/12, within a couple of days of that. That would be the fabled day 13.0.0.0.0 of the Mayan calendar's long count. And there was a lot of fanfare leading up to this. You know, quite literally hundreds of books or articles or workshops and panels by the wise and scholarly people in the New Age movement and some astrologers even. And, you know, it wasn't as if nothing happened. I mean, what did happen was that pretty horrendous event to kind of begin the 13th Bogdan or 14th Bogdan, actually, and also the Saturn in Scorpio era, that being the Newtown thing. And, there, you know, there's value in noting the irony of what was the culmination of a 25-year buildup in popular culture, beginning with the harmonic convergence of 1986, and then that being the beginning of a 25-year span that led to 12/21/12. And then for you, Saturn entered your sign. And this is one of those before and after type events that you look at your life, you know, before it happened, and you look at your life after it happened, and it is usually possible to make a pretty stark contrast between the two eras, you know, the two phases of life. And the time span when Saturn was in your sign is a kind of a transitional zone where there is typically a lot of pressure to grow, to mature. A lot of what Patrick Walker used to call enforced changes can come your way, and it can be challenging. But I think that, also referencing Patrick Walker, thankfully one of the first people to introduce me to Saturn, said in one of his daily horoscope columns that Saturn always gives more than it takes away. And I'm wondering that, you know, whether when you look at the balance sheet of your life, when you look at what you've gained and what you've given up and what you've lost and what you have kind of had ceased to be, how you would assess that, you know, the giving and the taking and the benefits you've received from this. Now, from reading your letters, there's a lot of people who do not feel this was beneficial. And there are some who see the power in the transition. And with a Saturn transit in particular, because they are so influential, and yet they are relatively short-lived. You know, two-year event in astrology is not that long. I mean, there are some events that will stay with us for, you know, 15 years, like a Pluto transit. It's good to review what you've been through. And on my very short, I have my little very short checklist. Ah, I've got it, found it. Sitting here in somewhat dim light. The really important things to understand with Saturn and to assess with Saturn are your, first of all, your relationship to authority. And this can often manifest as some story about your relationship to your parents, however old you may be, and other forms that parents might take. That might take the form of a particularly parental-seeming partner. It might take the form of a work situation where there is some, you know, authority issue in some way. It may be your taking charge of your life, because ultimately that's really what the Saturn principle is about. If I had to reduce Saturn down to one equation, that when our chart is under the influence of a Saturn transit, that the whole point, the purpose, the journey is about internalizing the authority principle rather than living with it as something outside of ourselves. And in a great many people, authority is only something that they encounter outside themselves, or the kind of various projects of life where we get the opportunity to take charge and do what some astrologers call internalize the Saturn principle. Living in a more focused or disciplined way, removing what does not need to be there, basically being your own authority. This is the beauty of Saturn, it's the purpose of Saturn, it's the nature of Saturn. A lot of people notice when they are early in a therapy process that what they're really doing is learning how to raise themselves, right? The first thing that comes up in a lot of therapy processes is a kind of neglect of parenting. Parents were not available or distracted or not interested or alcoholic or not very good at parenting. And it's not that hard to figure out that most people basically are, to some real extent, the products of neglect or the products of needlessly authoritarian treatment. And so early in therapy, that's the thing to do, is to figure that out, to observe, you know, the quality of the parenting we had and the example we had of healthy authority or not healthy authority. And so this kind of reparenting process is the essence of a powerful Saturn transit, such as you have been through. Other issues, you know, are your relationship to work. I mean, that is a vastly important one. Stephen Forrest said something rather wise, which is that someone is a successful graduate of their Saturn return when they like going to work. Saturn return happens at about age 29 through 31. There's some precursors that happen beginning at about age 27. In slightly older folk, it happens between age 55 and 58. There's a kind of a window, and it is about doing all these Saturnian things and restructuring your life in such a way that you are the dominant authority in your life. And Saturn conjunct the Sun is exceedingly similar to the Saturn return. It's kind of like an off-cycle Saturn return. You know, it doesn't happen exactly at age 29 or 50, 57. It will happen whenever Saturn happens to come through your sign. And it is vital to check how you have done on these matters, particularly of work, authority, and parents, your relationship to those things. And, you know, Saturn transits benefit from using the phase immediately after them as a phase of revolution, because I think more than any other planetary transit, Saturn can have the sensation of repeating the lessons over and over again unless they're really fully embraced and internalized. Now, Saturn keeps moving in your chart, and it's moved into Sagittarius. So this is a, you know, logical time to talk about what that is about. And let's start with just the fact of having Sagittarius as your solar second house, the second place, as it's called in ancient astrology. They don't really use the word house in ancient astrology, but they use the word place. And so in that sense, house and sign can be used interchangeably like we're doing here. So if we start reading the chart at Scorpio, Sag is the second place. And the second place is about your personal resources. That spans from self-esteem to money and covers many things in between. The tools of your trade, for example, are a second house thing. If you're a painter, your wealth will partly be contained in blank canvases and bottles of paint and the canvases that you've painted and that you accumulate. If you are, you know, a carpenter, your workbench is part of your second house. The second house covers any resource that is available to you. And with Sagittarius there, this is quite an innovative approach to money and to resources. People with Sag on the second can be very effective at multiplying their wealth. We think of Scorpio as being the sign of shared resources, and its opposite, Taurus, a very important sign of resources. And most of the Scorpios that I know are resourceful people, survivors. The thing with having Sagittarius on the second is that it inherently provides a kind of optimism and a sense of potential. But with Sagittarius there, it's very easy to lose control of that potential or to have that optimism kind of run wild. And there is essential a sense of discipline required. I was fortunate that I had both an attorney and a therapist who encouraged me to understand money, to file taxes regularly, and to get a grip. And incidentally, during my Saturn in Scorpio, it was a profound time of getting a grip on financial matters and reassessing my relationship to resources from top to bottom. And this is the likely scenario for you with Saturn in Sagittarius. And this is a potentially tense meeting, is that the tension between, for example, an element like Saturn, which tends to concentrate energy, and an element like Sagittarius, which tends to expand energy, when you put those two things together, you can get something really special, like a new element of some kind. And that is what you've got. And so when you consider that you have Sag on the second house, which is indicative of a very positive attitude about finances and never really wanting to deal with fear about money, having multiple sources of income, believing that there is, living indeed the truth, that there is some necessarily spiritual connection to money, for example, the faith that you'll always be provided for. This kind of thing is very common with Sagittarius on the second house. But again, this takes discipline, focus to master it. And now you have that coming. So Saturn's journey continues. Saturn has, you might say, worked through many of the more personal, emotional, relationship-oriented, and structural questions of your life. There are likely to be people who are not there anymore, tendencies that you had that you now no longer have, perhaps some radical shift in circumstances. And now Saturn moves on through what is likely to be a simpler life. A lot of scaling down can happen when Saturn is in your sign. And now that Saturn has moved on, it is bringing this necessary element of concentration. That is to say, of it is a kind of reducing things to their essence, or packing them efficiently, or perhaps most significantly, granting yourself the ability to have your resources take a condensed and concentrated form, to bring things together. But really, the thing that Saturn rewards the most is a plan, a concept of time, and then daily discipline. Sagittarius wants to go right to the goal. Sagittarius is represented by an arrow, and more time is spent aiming the arrow than the arrow flies. Once you let go, the arrow flies. Saturn is saying, slow down that process. Slow down the process of expansion. Gather your strength. Gather your energy. And commence a new process of building. The thing with Saturn transiting the second that you will no doubt read about if you read astrology books is that there can be a sense of scarcity, a sense of a shortage of resources. And that is certainly possible. But as you're going through that, you will become more efficient. And then when the resources in your life become more abundant, you will run your life at a greater profit. So what Saturn through Sag in the second is saying is, be efficient, but because there is Sagittarius there, the expansion factor still exists, but it's now being mediated, regulated by Saturn. So it is a slower form of growth and a more comprehensive idea of what a resource is. Remembering that essentially your life of wealth and this, you know, what most people experience as survival, you experience as a cosmic connection. I mean, looked at one way, when you're in a good mood or perhaps a very successful person, the notion of there not being sufficient abundance is absurd. And the reason that it might feel that way to you is because there's some huge interspace, like intergalactic deep space points in your second house that are pumping through a constant surge of energy. And as we begin tonight, the moon is between those two points, the great attractor and the center of our galaxy, the galactic center. And so I would strongly suggest, based on this, that you embrace the real lesson of adulthood, which is respect for your resources, whatever those resources may be. And second, real respect for the structure of money. So it's time to go beyond the shoebox. It's time to, you know, go beyond not knowing how much money you have. It is very important, I think, to work with competent financial professionals, even if that is merely someone who makes sure that your books are kept. For example, if you have a business and if you have a very simple private life, you can do it yourself. But if you have anything more than a very simple private life, and for example, you feel like you are too rushed to really understand your financial picture, get help. And it, I think, always makes sense to have a CPA go over your taxes to make sure that you are getting the full benefit back. And so that financial organization is going to come in handy. And it's a factor that is likely to make you more conservative with money and with resources. And I think that Saturn in the second is sending that message, that it is through a kind of conservatism and intentionality and planning, the use of time and the use of the equation that time is money, or you might say, in a modern context, time is a resource worth far more than money, to work those methods. So Saturn's going to be hanging out in your second till late 2017, and there will be aspects that it makes along the way. But there's a lot of other interesting things going on in your life. And I think one of the most exciting ones is that Saturn in your sign, which, where it's been for a while, it can seem to put pressure on to anyone having the transit. It can be a depressive or oppressive kind of pressure. And my teacher Joe has one of his many aphorisms he's made up, which is that the opposite of depression is expression. I'll write a whole book about this, probably. Could write a whole book about his aphorisms, things like, make it work for you. And what you've had going on with Saturn in your sign is a kind of a squeeze. And when there is a squeeze, something has to give. And the very obvious place that something has, you might say, given, where there has been a release valve, a pressurized release of or a way or place to direct your energy, is in the direction of Pisces, the fifth house. So you naturally have Pisces as your solar fifth house. It is the fifth place from your sign. It's your fellow water sign. And fortunately, there are a lot of planets in Pisces right now which serve the purpose of calling your attention to that place. So it's easier to ignore a house when there's not planets in that house. It happens now that in everybody's Pisces, and wherever you have Pisces in your chart, in our context, the fifth house, you have a lot of resources to work with. And so when there was a pressurized squeeze put on you, the energy is very likely to have flowed in the direction of the fifth, which is your creative expression. The fifth is about all forms of pleasure seeking. It's about risks. It's about art. It's about music, children, the pleasure that children have, and generally about things of a fun nature, perhaps a little bit risky, but with Pisces there especially, the risk factor is going to be less the bungee jumping or base jumping kind of risk, fast downhill skiing kind of risk, and more the willingness to dare being more creative. And the planets there have been concentrating that particular property for you. And so one thing I would ask is, where has your expressive energy gone? What have you chosen to do? What have you chosen to express, particularly during the Saturn transit? And has that Saturn transit offered you, given you, demonstrated for you, any form of discovery about what it is that you have to offer, have to share? What makes this transit more interesting, you know, apart from how incredibly interesting it is to have Chiron and Neptune and a weird bit called Borsisi, this planet that's about belief and about the ability to believe the things that help you, to have sane beliefs, and to know why you believe what you believe, among other things, in your fifth house, is that you have a lot of options for how to express yourself. And during the course of the Saturn transit, at different phases during that two-year stretch, a little bit more, you are likely to have discovered, rediscovered, or just opened up places in yourself where a more creative and bold form of expression could happen. And what makes this even more interesting is that the traditional ruler of Pisces is Jupiter. And Jupiter is in Virgo, your 11th house, the place opposite Pisces. And so you've got very strong activity along what I call the axis of the creative will, the fifth and the 11th. And the fifth tends to operate kind of like an art studio, creative space, a music studio of some kind, a place where there is freedom to do things, whatever you want, to express yourself however you want. And what the 11th is a more public space where you get to experience the benefits of what you create in a kind of a community environment. And so I don't know if you're one of these people who's absolutely convinced you have no creative talent, but I would assure you that you wouldn't be here if you didn't have some gift, some creative thing that really was genuinely pleasurable for you. And I would propose that now the relatively new arrival of Jupiter in Virgo, in this house opposite your fifth, is suggesting that the thing to do with your creativity is to bring it out of the house. Get out. Show it to people. Share. Or invite them in and make your creative workspace somewhere more available for meetings by people, meetings with others, people you care about, particularly your closest friends. So there's a kind of a symmetry to all of this, which is typically creative process works the best under some pressure. There are a few creatives who really need to have completely relax and not have any external structure. But that was like deadlines by other people. But given the fact that Saturn's been in your sign, you're likely to have faced necessities, pressure, and responsibilities of various kinds. But what's interesting is that those necessities, pressures, and responsibilities are not exactly related to what you were doing with your fifth house planets, i.e. art, fun, music, experimentation, exploration, and various forms of taking risks. But they were a very nice remedy to that Saturn transit. And so if you scan back through these 8-10 seasons-ish and see what it was that you learned to express under the influence of the Saturn transit, you will have some very rich examples of what was given, regardless of what else you may have been giving up. Now, with a combination of Neptune in Chiron in Pisces, there is a very wide range of how you might express yourself. It might be just, you know, eating some Colorado edibles and sitting in your favorite chair and gazing out the window at the stream running through your backyard. That would be creative, or you might say recreative, you know, recreational. You may have taken, that's kind of the Neptune approach, because Neptune's in Pisces. You may have taken a focused, disciplined approach or something oriented on healing. That would reflect Chiron in your fifth house. And it's worth mentioning that with this combination of Neptune in the fifth and Chiron in the fifth, that seeking spiritual depth through creative exploration and seeking healing, specifically healing through creative exploration, are wide open and available to you more than at any other time. And so if, you know, I'm always a little concerned about talking art and music to people who don't identify with these things, but somehow everyone identifies with them. One of the things I learned in the process of doing astrology for artists is how many people have paint and canvases in their closet, have their set of drawing pencils that they don't use. How many people have felt the calling to express themselves, a musical instrument they don't play? And so my suggestion with all of this stuff in your fifth house, and it's long-term stuff, and a lot of it is focused on healing. It's almost as if the inspiration provided by Neptune is just fodder for the deeper work of healing and to make it more nourishing and more fun and to, you know, give you some freedom from, you know, what you already know. To get the paints out, get that musical instrument out, take it to the music shop, have new strings put on it, get the thing set up again, or whatever it is that you identify with as a means of expression. To open up that space, I mean, it would seem to be so blatantly clear, a message coming from the astrology that the presence of planets in the fifth house, so many of them. I mean, Vesta's currently there. Now the South Node is there. In addition to Nessus being there, and there's a number of others. That this is a message that your healing process is focused on to the point of being profoundly compelled to use your creative gift for the purpose of healing, and then to allow that to keep going so that your creative gift simply ends up being something that nourishes and entertains you and gives you reason to be alive, additional reason, or perhaps the only reason to be alive. Many people would really feel like they had no purpose if not for their creative expression, for their ability to be free in your own mind. And that, I would say, is the essence of the fifth house when it is working at its very best. So I'm going to take a break right now, and I have two more sections. I'm going to cover a number of outer planet transits. I'm going to look at, well, outer planets. There's a few of them doing things, particularly we'll start with the meeting of Saturn in Sag in your second with first Neptune in Pisces in your fifth, and then later in the year, Chiron in Pisces in your fifth. So we'll go over the Saturn-Neptune, Saturn-Chiron pattern. I'd like to review Pluto and Capricorn and get a feeling for what the Uranus-Eris conjunction is about for you. Then I'll do a third section, which will consist of astrology afterthoughts and then a tarot card reading. Okay, so I will catch you in a digital instant.